Tahlequah Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. On night two of the Republican National Convention, U.S. House Speaker Mike Johnson tells delegates,
"We're in a fateful battle of ideas, my friends, and we have to recognize that. But in this battle, and in November, the American people will reject the party of self-destruction, and they will elect the party of peace and prosperity and opportunity."
I'm Matt Piper at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. Tonight's theme, immigration and crime, make America safe once again. The Trump campaign says the theme of the evening is going to highlight President Biden's, what it says, is failure to secure the border, which has led to record violent crime. That from the Trump campaign.
Two U.S. officials confirmed to CBS News that U.S. intelligence recently detected an Iranian plot against former President Donald Trump. CBS's Nicole Skanka.
Upon learning about the threat, the National Security Council contacted Secret Service. In response, the Secret Service increased resources and assets for Trump's protection in June. Information about the threat stream raises further questions about how an armed individual was able to get within 500 feet of the former president despite increased security.
Outside of the building where the RNC is being held, multiple police officers who came to Milwaukee to support RNC security have been involved in a deadly shooting of a man who had a knife and lived in a nearby encampment. CBS's Christopher Cruz has the latest on what President Biden has been asked in a BET interview.
Interviewer Ed Gordon put it to the president straight on.
Is there anything that you would look to, you personally, not anybody else, not other pundits, not even perhaps family members, that you would look to say, if I see that, I will reevaluate?
Biden said he'd leave the race only if his doctor said he had a medical condition that would make him unable to serve.
But there's more to do, and I'm reluctant to walk away from that.
Christopher Cruz, CBS News.
A source tells CBS News that on a call with the Congressional Progressive Caucus, President Biden has said he's working with experts on major Supreme Court reform proposals to be announced soon. CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
CBS News has learned that he is working on a series of changes to the Supreme Court, including possibly term limits for the justices. It's designed to motivate and excite his progressive base, who's not happy with their recent decisions and with the behavior of the justices.
A jury finds Democratic Senator Bob Menendez of New Jersey guilty of using his political powers to benefit foreign governments and three businessmen in exchange for bribes. Senator Menendez responding,
"The decision rendered by the jury today would put at risk every member of the United States Senate in terms of what they think a foreign agent would be."
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. City leaders and Republican officials promised Milwaukee businesses would get big boosts during the Republican National Convention. But so far, some restaurants and shops say it's been pretty slow. That may be because attendees are on a tight schedule. Delegate Stephanie Susek.
We were kind of, you know, tied up having to be at the convention hall. And so we're looking forward to some more flexibility in the next few days to go out and, you know, just be part of the community and get out to different places.
That schedule is really keeping people busy at Fiserv. Civic Media has a team at the convention. We'll be there all week. And this is such sad news from Door County. Two kids, a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old, died when the sailboat they were on capsized near Chambers Island. Officials are still searching for their dad, 32-year-old Bill Salnick of Little Swamp. The Door County Sheriff's Office says they'll keep searching until they find him. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, Civic Media News.
The All-Star Game tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The 86th Major League Baseball All-Star Game, the Midsummer Classic hosted by the Rangers at Globe Life Field in Arlington, Texas. Right-hander Corbin Burnes, former Brewer and now with the Orioles, on the mound for the American League against the Pirates rookie Paul Skeens. Brewers catcher William Contreras will be behind the plate for the National League with Christian Yelich in right field for his third career All-Star Game.
Yeah, anytime you get to come here, it's special and, you know, hang out with some of the best players in the game and be part of the All-Star Game. To really be able to do it through like different parts of my career has been kind of cool. You know, it's been a few years since I've been able to do something like this, so especially back, share it with friends and family, and really just enjoy the whole experience.
Last night at the Home Run Derby, the Dodgers' Teoscar Hernandez defeated the Royals' Bobby Witt Jr. in the final round. It was Hernandez's first time in the Derby. NBA, the Bucks take on the LA Clippers tonight in Summer League action. At 0-2, the Bucks looking for their first win. With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight, a low in the mid-50s. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, a high in the mid-70s. And upper 70s with more sunshine Thursday. Mostly sunny and upper 70s to near 80 by Friday. Saturday and Sunday, a slight chance of showers, highs close to 80. It's 71 right now.
Earl Ingram.
On Wednesday's show, Dr. Robert Craig from Citizen Action will join me on the show to talk about the RNC in Milwaukee and getting organized politically.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, and he cut it deep.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Chuzhunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. A big pinagigi thank you to all of our supporters and donators over the years.
Yes, definitely. They kept us alive during COVID, and we really appreciate them and anybody else that can just throw in a $5 bill or something. And ho-wah. Hey, we have I lost my place here. Hey, we have our friend Ruth Ann Buffalo, president and CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in Minneapolis, and I wanted to say a big hello and a welcome, Ruth.
Hi, Dosha Madzagadads, thank you for having me.
For some reason, you look really rested. We haven't seen you in a week or so. How are you doing?
Must be, I don't know, getting closer to fall, maybe.
Yeah, I hear you. So, how are things going? I don't know. We got the things happening nationally, and you know, we got the RNC, and I know that's happening in Milwaukee, and so there's a lot of things, strange things going on here in Turtle Island.
Yeah, for sure. Mandaree Powwow or Mandaree Celebration is this weekend, so that's something to look forward to. I'm hoping to get back to my res. That would be amazing, just to connect with relatives, family, and the community. My mom's house, our house, is literally just over the hill from the powwow grounds, you know, so you could just sit on the front porch and listen to all the doings, you know, so it's, it would be good to get back to the res sometime soon for sure.
Well, tell our listeners out there, and especially our allies that listen to the show, how important it is to reconnect and go back to the res and the celebrations and see relatives. I mean, It's a gift that we have as Native people to be able to do that.
It's so important. I think it just provides a strong sense of who you are and where you come from. You know, you always hear people say, don't forget where you come from. And so it's so important to know where you come from, because that just helps the world that we live in so much better. You know, I think once we're grounded people, and you know, whether you're connecting or reconnecting, it just is, it's so much more helpful to others in everything on all levels. I think just staying grounded is good. So yeah, for me, when I go back home on the res, it's always just a breath of fresh air. You know, I always feel 100% rejuvenated, and because just being connected to the land, you know, where my grandparents lived, great grandparents, of course, it's, you know, present day where we live, but there's still a lot of history at Fort Berthold Indian Reservation along the Missouri River. And it's beautiful. People say it's beautiful there, and I agree. But yeah, you know, because I didn't get to meet my grandparents. They passed away before I was born. And so on my mom's side of the family. And so it's always nice, you know, just to go back to their old house, which is standing. You know, it was brought up from Elbow Woods during the early 1950s when the Pick-Sloan Act occurred. It impacted communities up and down the Missouri River. 94% of our agricultural land was flooded, and we are historically agricultural peoples. And so growing up, we would always go out to my grandparents' house out in Independence. And that's the area that they were forcibly relocated to after the flood. And so Elbow Woods is underwater. It's in the bottomlands. But yeah, when I hear of people talk of Elbow Woods, it always sounds like Pleasantville, you know, just fertile land, cottonwood trees, and we were very self-sufficient people, and used to have other tribal nations come to us and work as like hired hands and things like that with horses and cattle and stuff. So we were very self-sufficient people and very giving people.
Yeah, and it's excellent that you brought that up, because that's where I was leading to. Because we've had many talks about that, and it's good for our listeners to hear that was only 1950 that this happened, and this relocation thing, that was not that long ago.
Right. Yes, exactly. And as a result of the Pick-Sloan Act, you know, some of the impacts included boarding schools, you know, where my grandparents were forcibly relocated to, you know, in Elbow Woods area. They then were so far out in the country that they were not close to a new school bus line. And so they were being encouraged to send their kids to boarding schools, but they weren't totally upfront with what that actually entailed, you know. So my mom and her siblings all attended Wahpeton Indian Boarding School on the other side of the state, but 6 hours away from Independence. And yeah, and so... Yeah, years later when I, you know, went to boarding schools, one being in Fargo, you know, yeah, I would call home and be homesick, and my mom would share, you know, she was an hour south of me, you know, when she was 5 years old. So I was like drying my tears. Okay, I'm fine, you know, but yeah, lots of stories I grew up hearing of aunties, you know, trying to get back home to their parents, you know, running barefoot through cornfields in the middle of the night. And, but yeah, just a lot of history there. And my mom, you know, was punished for speaking her language at the young age of 5 years old. And so interestingly enough, like at the United Nations, they have declared it the decade of languages. And so I was out there a year ago for the expert mechanism on the rights of indigenous peoples, and was able to do a quick intervention, they call it, but it's basically just reading testimony, reading a statement, a 3-minute statement. And I had gotten credentialed then, and again this year, by International Indian Treaty Council to attend. My daughter and I were out there last week in Geneva, Switzerland. And also did a panel discussion on boarding schools and the intergenerational trauma surrounding boarding schools. Department of Interior's Heidi Todorachini was on the panel, and then also Heather Whiteman runs him, who leads a legal clinic in the University of Arizona, Tucson. She was also the lead legal counsel on the first UN filing of the missing children that we were a part of, and it was recently submitted last week of June.
Wow. How exciting is it to have your daughter kind of fall in your footsteps? Because I've known her since she was young, and she's still young, but it's great that she went with you to this. And I see her around a lot, and especially now that you guys are in Minnesota.
Yeah, she's, I don't want to put pressure on anyone in their path and what, you know, what Creator has, you know, in store for them or plans for our children, but definitely told my daughter, you know, when we're in those spaces, like, you know, make sure you soak everything up and be a sponge, because not everybody can be in those spaces, you know. And so she's an artist and drawer, and she was drawing portraits while she was sitting in on those meetings. But she did read a statement of support for Leonard Peltier during the Indigenous Peoples Caucus last Sunday, I believe. So it's super powerful to hear the voice of our youth, our future generations, for sure.
Wow, that's beautiful to hear. Hey, we're here with Ruth Buffalo, Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, CEO and president. We'll be right back after this short break.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, it's Robert Pilot from Native Roots Radio here to tell you about the best window contractor in Minnesota, 952 Windows. Here's why I trust them in my home projects. 952 Windows is a part of Loyal Home, founded by former window light workers known for their ethics and quality. It's a top-notch remodeling company that's been flying under the radar for too long. They've even sold to competitors' employees who want top-tier quality for their homes. For the best in windows and doors, have 952 Windows take care of your next project. They offer the longest warranties and were rated ENERGY STAR's most efficient in windows and doors. Believe me, I've known the owner for decades, so I can vouch for their excellence. They're not just about windows either. They're your go-to for roofing, siding, kitchens, bathrooms, and more. Plus, they've got you covered on Onyx Bath and Rosebud cabinets. Trust me, you won't regret giving them a call at 952-WINDOWS or 952windows.com.
Attention transit customers. On Saturday, June 15th, Metro Transit will make changes to transit service within your community. As we do each quarter, we review our resources and ridership trends. These service changes continue our ongoing work to best serve customers throughout our system with our given resources. A summary of the upcoming service changes and a preview of the updated schedules are available now at metrotransit.org. Again, that's at metrotransit.org.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic, or NAC, in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we are here with our friend, and we are always excited, Ruth Buffalo, President and CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, and talking about some like high-end work that you're doing and have been doing. What was the most difficult thing for you to learn in your political what was the hardest thing for you? Because I know you're in the community. You've been in the community a long time, even before you were a state representative. What was the most difficult thing for you?
Gosh, I don't know. I might, you know, include that in my book someday.
<Just kidding. laughs> No, you should write a book.
I'm not sure. And I don't say that in an arrogant way. I just say, like, there was so much work that was done. And, you know, I think I kind of went in blindly, you know, naively, maybe foolishly, and thinking, you know, not really. Yeah, so I'm not sure exactly. I think What was the question? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, you put one foot in front of the other and kept on doing good work. And I know, Haley and I know, and our listeners know that you have a great heart. So when you walk in these places that normally don't have natives, you go with a good heart.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you have to always assume, you know, good intentions of everyone. And I think sometimes that's to a detriment, you know, where you think maybe you're too trusting or think. So I think, yeah, maybe that was the most surprising, disappointing thing, was just seeing the ugly side of politics, where at times it felt like high school in a sense, you know, but the cliques and the underhandedness, I think, you know, I think back to a committee hearing where I'm going to always, you know, stand with tribal people no matter what. But seeing things when they shift so quickly, but you still stay grounded in your values, and people who are supposed to help you, you know, allies, with, you know, who are going to help with something. Then if I vote, change my mind in a bill hearing, that was their bill that they carried. And if I change my mind on my vote because I wanted to support tribal peoples, because tribal peoples believed a bill would be detrimental to them, I then went with the tribal peoples. And then the ally then, you know, stopped by my desk later that day and said, you know, so-and-so that I was going to help you with, well, I'm not able to do that anymore. You know, just kind of things like that, where it was a bit cutthroat. And I guess just, I think that's the sad part of things, is that ultimately the people suffer, suffer off of this behavior, you know. And so I think it is true that you do need more good-hearted, grounded people in those spaces. And I think it's good to have that, that those different trainings and ideas, and expertise areas, but I think at the heart of it for me, it's the peoples, and being good to one another, being good relatives to one another, being good ancestors, because you have to live with yourself, you know, at the end of the day, when your term ends, or if you're termed out, you know, the decisions you make or the deals you make within those halls always have to align with you and future generations, I think. So it's holding yourself accountable first and foremost is very important. And I would say that was one of the disappointing things, is just seeing unkind behavior play out, you know. And so,
yeah, it's hard because you go into a situation like this, whether it's tribal politics or state politics like you were in, and go in there and think that everybody's on the same page, that we want to help our people, and you find out that there's so many other things going on, and that's one of the last things that are on their list.
For sure. Yeah, I think that's really what it is. It's like what are the intentions? What are the true intentions? You know, are you just there for whatever, you know, or, yeah, I don't want to be too go into like a negative direction, but I think having true intentions for the people and remembering why you're there is super important. And also knowing that change doesn't always occur within those walls either. You know, change occurs from, I would say, always ground up, you know, from grassroots up. But when you're in that space, it's important to do as much as you can, but to stay true to your values always. And so I think that's important. But and to try to educate as many people as you can, because I remember having all walks of life, people of all, from all backgrounds, come to me and say, you know, they miss, even to this day, they miss my lives, or, you know, live feeds of just basic information that isn't readily available for the rest of us. You know, if you don't grow up in that sort of sphere or that sort of network and clique, you're not going to know that information, you know, and that information should be readily available to everybody.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned boots on the ground, and that's what you're doing now. And it's exciting, probably change for you to be able to help people almost immediately. And let's talk a little bit about that with, you know, Minnesota Indians Women's Resource Center and all the great work that you guys are doing and going to be doing for these past many decades.
Yes. You know, the staff are amazing. We have so much talent here under this roof, and it's just amazing. And I love, you know, coming to and from work every day. You know, there's always something new and exciting, you know, to see the creativity of our staff. So we're, you know, bonding pretty well, and we've gone into ceremony a few times together, and I think that's important. But there, it's just being able to watch people, you know, grow and like have at it, like, please just this idea you have, take it and run with it. Like, there's no one's holding you back. Like, let's just do it, you know, because it's all good. It's all goodness. It's all good. It's all comes from a good place, and it's to help our relatives that need the help the most. And so, yeah, it's beautiful. We just added 5 new board members, so I'm really excited about that. And they're all from the community here and of the community. So that's also something that's really hopeful and inspiring, you know. So we have, I think, a board of 10 members now. We like doubled the numbers of our board. So I'm hoping that the board will support our efforts here on the ground. And yeah, I think it's amazing. You know, we met with the ICWA Law Center today, so we're just trying to partner and strengthen relationships that we have and continue to support our staff as best we can. You know, our staff are amazing. They do such heavy heart work on a daily basis. We hope to be hiring a front desk security person soon. So in the meantime, I've been trying to do my best fielding the phone calls, and I would say about 85% of the phone calls are for housing requests. And so that's, you know, pretty telling of the need. And we're continuing to go after funding and donors, you know, going through the traditional grant funding streams, but also trying to be creative and look at other funding streams. But yes, first and foremost, want to make sure our staff are well taken care of and that they feel loved and valued and appreciated, because that's so important to feel loved, valued, and appreciated. And I think oftentimes that gets missed in the minutiae of things. And it's so important that we continue to value each other and lift each other up.
Absolutely. And it's amazing that we have the opportunity here at Native Roots Radio is to talk to great leaders like you that do have their workers are more partners and have their back and in their mental health. It's so important and refreshing to hear. And that's because it's our way, right, Ruth?
Exactly. It's completely our way. It's bringing back, or, you know, staying true, or keeping our ancestors, our relatives, their wishes, their prayers alive, you know, by being good to one another. I mean, it's just that simple, but we have to never forget that and continue to strive to be the best we can, because it essentially is honoring our ancestors and the future generations, for sure.
Absolutely. Hey, we only got a minute left, and I want you to give a shout out how people can contact you and find out more about Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center across Turtle Island and also how they can support your work.
Yes, Madzigadads, thank you. Go to miwrc.org/donate. So miwrc.org/donate.
Well, Ruth, thank you so much for coming on, and really a big peeny geegy for all the work you do and your family does. And now you are here in the Twin Cities and helping us out here. I really, really appreciate you checking in.
Mods, good odds. Always good to see both of you. Thank you for your good work. And
you're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
CBS News Special Report at the Republican National Convention. Former President Donald Trump shows up for a second night. CBS's Nora O'Donnell and Major Garrett pointing out.
Continues to have his ear bandaged following that attempted assassination attempt, and a number of the delegates showing their support tonight by making some makeshift
impromptu headgear to resemble that, indeed.
Former Trump challenger Nikki Haley saying just a short time ago that for the sake of our nation, we have to go with Donald Trump. Earlier, Congressman Steve Scalise told delegates that when he was wounded in a politically motivated shooting in 2017, former President Trump came to the hospital to console his family. And on another Trump term, Congressman Scalise saying,
in our first 100 days, President Trump and a Republican majority will make the Trump tax cuts permanent.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. RNC speakers Tuesday focused on immigration. The GOP platform calls for the largest deportation in American history. Christine Newman-Ortiz is a Milwaukee-based advocate for refugees and other immigrants.
We are not afraid of those that demonize us and promote hate and violence and division.
She spoke in front of a large group of protesters. And 60 years later, officials have solved a cold case. Wayne Pratt was found with dozens of stab wounds in Winnebago County back in June of 1963. Authorities had a few suspects and they've reopened the case a few times. But finally, with advancements in DNA technology, they've identified their killer. The Winnebago County Sheriff says the killer's name is William Doxeter and he was on that original suspect list. Unfortunately, Doxeter won't face justice. He died 2 years ago. But now Pratt's case is closed. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, Civic Media News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. After a traumatic couple days, it's time for our country to come together and try to heal. Of course, I'm talking about Ingrid Andress' performance of our national anthem before the Home Run Derby at Monday's MLB All-Star festivities. The performance was not only potentially the worst version of the song ever performed, but possibly the worst version of any song ever performed. It's bad even if she's never had lessons, and after witnessing that performance, well, there's no way she's ever had lessons. She made the Hawk Tua girl sound like a virtuoso. Andress, a Grammy-nominated singer, quickly put out a statement the next day for damage control, saying, I'm not going to bullshit, y'all. I was drunk last night. I'm checking myself into a facility today to get the help I need. Good for you, Ingrid. Admitting you have a problem is the first step. Hopefully, whatever facility she attends will provide excellent voice lessons. She might also want to cut back on the booze. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight, a low in the mid-50s. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, a high in the mid-70s. And upper 70s with more sunshine Thursday. Mostly sunny and upper 70s to near 80 by Friday. Saturday and Sunday, a slight chance of showers, highs close to 80. It's 69 degrees right now.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll be joined by the former Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair, Mike Tate, as well as former U.S. Representative from Wisconsin, Scott Klug. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is
Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the City of Minneapolis with Minneapolis Air American Indian Relations. And here is our guest host, Christine McDonald.
Thank you. Welcome back. Our next guest today joins us from the Metro Transit Police Department. We have Chief Ernest Morales III. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Christine. I appreciate being the guest and having this platform to connect with our audience.
Yeah, it's so nice to see you. Can you tell us about yourself and what you do as the Chief of the Metro Transit Police?
Sure. So I grew up in New York, Lower East Side of Manhattan. I grew up during the 1980s, the crack epidemic. And unfortunately, I grew up in a single family home to a drug addicted mom in the projects. The reason why I share that with you is September of this past year, projects, you know, they're supposed to be temporary homes, temporary housing. Unfortunately, that apartment's been in my life over 55 years, and it's a cycle of addiction. So I lost my mom through that cycle of addiction recently in September of 2023. I lost my brother to a fentanyl overdose, leaving me with three of his young children. 6 years earlier in the same apartment, his wife overdosed in that apartment. So I know addiction. It's touched me personally. It's hard, but I've had the luxury of being in law enforcement since 1990. And I think what drove me to public service was those experiences and the fact that I felt that as a public servant, I could be the difference in my communities. So as chief of police here, I'm responsible for 8 counties, 85 plus cities, 3,000 square miles. And we provide transportation. And transportation is an important, vital need for members of our minority communities. It provides opportunities. We have to break down invisible barriers in providing these opportunities to people that don't have other means of transportation. So as the new chief in Metro Transit going on 18 months here, it's been my mission to change our relationships and the perception of how our communities receive us, understanding that there's a much bigger picture and mission at hand.
I've got to say, thank you for sharing that with me, with us, with the community. It is so important for us to know that we have people with lived experience in leadership roles representing our communities. So thank you, and I appreciate you. Can you share what are some of the major issues that Metro Transit is working on these days?
Yes. So we're working on three major factors here that are affecting our community within the transit community. But I want to point out that, you know, Metro Transit is a small window to larger societal issues that we're experiencing not only in Minnesota, but across the country at this time. And that's homelessness, the mental health crises, and more important, the fentanyl use, substance abuse. Those are three major issues that find themselves within our transit issues. And we work with our partners throughout the state and region to be great partners. That's something that we want to focus on. Fortunately for us, we have a homeless action team that helps out with these issues. We've partnered with community-based partners as well. And recently, as of this year, we just enacted the TRIP agents, Transit Rider Investment Program, which is state legislation mandated as of June of last year. So in December of 2023, we sent out our community service officers to start enforcing fare inspections, which were civilianized. It no longer requires a sworn police officer to conduct this kind of enforcement, which is great because it creates that distance between us and the communities and our commuters from a law enforcement perspective. We want to be an avenue to resources. We want to be public servants because that's what we do. We are public servants that provide a service based on the communities that need us. The police are the people and the people are the police.
Thank you. You mentioned the Transit Assistance Program. Can you tell us more about how that works and what it is?
Absolutely. So a transit assistance program is very helpful for communities in need that can't necessarily afford the fares. And what we would ask you to do is to go up on our website, metrotransit.org/tap. Or if you don't have a computer or access to the internet, we have four locations where you can go to personally. And that's Burnsville Transit Station, the Metro Transit Service Centers in downtown Minneapolis or St. Paul, and the Southwest Transit Station in Eden Prairie. Now, what the TAP Assistance Program is a reduced fare of $1. And we'll accept any IDs that are used for voting in Minnesota. This includes a utility bill, your lease, student ID, EBT card, or WIC card, and many others. Once you apply, it's good for 1 year. After the 1 year, you have to re-enroll. And family members listed on the approved documents, they also qualify as well. I want to remind people that children under 5 years of age ride for free, no IDs required. For children between the ages of 6 to 12 and seniors 65 and older, they qualify for a reduced fare card that's valid for 10 years or until the youth turns 13 years old. You can order those at any one of our service centers.
You said that valid forms of ID are the same ones that use for voting, so that includes a tribal ID?
Yes, absolutely.
Just want to make sure. Thank you. How does a Metro Transit work proactively to help people feel safe on the buses and the trains?
So as I pointed out in December, what we did is we have several layers of safety now. And this is how we've been successful in reducing crime and increasing ridership. One thing that I required my officers to do prior to my arrival here, they answered calls for services. So when they received the call for service, they will respond, take the report, return back to their vehicles, and resume patrol. What I'm asking them now to do is between those calls for service, I give them a designated geographical area of employment. I expect them to get on a certain stop, ride 3 to 4 stops. In between stops, get out, step off onto the platform, make eye contact with our commuters so that when you go home, you're talking to your families and friends, you're telling them that you have positive interaction with a police officer. And this is what has increased ridership. So we have several layers of safety. That's police officers, community service officers, community-based partners under TSIP, Transit Rider Investment Program. That's our trip agents. We also have the employees, and most importantly, the commuters that come on. We're absolutely safer in numbers. So by taking that proactive position and being out there, this has helped with our safety.
I remember being in a meeting a few years back, and one of the things that I was surprised to learn was that there are crimes that happen on the buses and the trains that people don't report. So what should people do if they see something dangerous or inappropriate on a bus or a train?
So I want you to report every incident. Every incident is absolutely important. It helps us with legislation. It helps us with recruiting more officers, getting more spots for it based on our need for policing. And that's based on reports that are reported. If you fail to report it, we can't meet that demand. But secondly, and more importantly, by you reporting your crimes and your incidents taking place, I know where I can deploy my personnel. Mm-hmm. If you feel unsafe in calling, you always have the option to use our text for safety. And that number is 612-900-0411. Once again, 612-900-0411. Anytime you feel unsafe, you see something suspicious, you witness behavior that's unacceptable, text this number. Use it on the bus, use it in the transit center, on the train, shelter, or any stop. It'll be relayed to our transit control center, known as our TCC, is monitored 24 hours, 7 days a week, and they will deploy police or medics, whatever is needed for that particular call. If you happen to be on a light rail, there's a red marker on top of the train with a number. Please supply that number. Give us as much detailed information as possible, what the incident is, whether they're smoking cigarettes, smoking drugs, what they're doing, and give us a detailed description. I ask for a detailed description because there may be a time delay. And by the time the officers respond to your incident or complaint, you may have already left the train, the vehicle. So please provide us with as much detailed information as possible so that when our officers respond, they can deal with that incident.
That's great. And the text number was, can you repeat that number?
Yes, 612-900-0411. Once again, 612-900-0411.
Thank you. So when and why should people file a police report?
The reason why people should file a police report is because, as I stated earlier, it's important for me so that I know where crimes and incidences are taking place so that I can deploy and focus my resources to those areas. We want to serve our underserved areas, importantly, but we want to serve the whole system comfortably. You should have a free ride, a free and comfortable ride that feels comfortable. We aren't there yet, but we are working hard. We're putting a lot of resources into it. Third-party security, where we can't meet the demand. We still have workforce issues. We're 38% short of where we should be. We're recruiting, but we need you to report incidences so that I can use the resources that I have and I could deploy them smartly.
So I think sometimes people may have questions about jurisdiction. When you file a police report, who handles that?
So we would take these reports. However, we don't have first right of refusal. First right of refusal goes with the local jurisdiction. So if we happen to be in Minneapolis or St. Paul, and I use them because they are major cities, the Twin Cities, they can assess and they can decide whether they want to take that report or not. However, we have conversations with them. We do deal with our incidences so that we can investigate them within our investigations unit.
Okay, thank you. I think at this time we're going to take a quick segment break and we'll be back and continue our conversation with Chief Ernest Morales III.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. Ho-wa.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis Air. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Join the community spirit at Four Sisters Farmers Market, a seasonal hub for cultural placemaking, food access, and indigenous values. Four Sisters Farmers Market has always emphasized their commitment to the community and inclusivity, accepting SNAP and EBT benefits. Stop by and get affordable, healthy, and culturally appropriate local food. Four Sisters Farmers Market is open Thursdays 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. and is located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off of Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market on their social media accounts.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org.
Let's live and let howl.
Howl!
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the City of Minneapolis with Minneapolis AIR American Indian Relations. And here's our guest host, Christine McDonald.
Welcome back. We are in conversation with Chief Ernest Morales III with the Metro Transit Police Department. You mentioned how transit, public transportation is a lifeline for a lot of people. Are you, does Metro Transit support elders and people with disabilities with any programs or ridership assistance?
Dedicated to providing accessible bus and rail services for all community members, including those with disabilities. Metro Transit outreach coordinators offer free personalized training and resources on how to ride buses and trains. Outreach coordinators are available to help train customers with disabilities in person and in on location. And topics include trip planning, reading maps and schedules, transferring between routes, using park and rides, fare and how to pay, learning about the accessibility features on buses and trains, using the online tools and apps, and riding transit safely. Contact our outreach coordinator at metrotransit.org/outreach. The limited mobility program offers discounted fares for those with disabilities to encourage customers who have a qualifying disability to use regional transit service. You can learn more at metrotransit.org/accessibility. I also want to touch on several other points. Metro Transit also offers customers the free use of AIRA, A-I-R-A. It's an app that connects customers to a live agent for visual interpreting and navigation assistance. Metro Mobility is the door-to-door public transportation system for people with disabilities in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. Customers can call 651-602-1111. Again, that number is 651-602-1111 or 651-291-0904 to schedule their trip. We're also wanting to hear from how we can improve, to request modifications, request materials in alternative formats, or to submit a comment or suggestions. You can contact our customer relations at 612-373-3333. Once again, that number is 612-373-3333, or reach us at metrotransit.org/contact-us.
You know, I think that's amazing. So I grew up in Minneapolis, so I'm an urban Indian, and I rode the bus from the time I was 5 years old. And just now learning that you have outreach coordinators that can help teach people how to ride the buses and the trains, like, I didn't really think about the need for that. But now I'm thinking about how we have a lot of people who come down from different reservations across the country and transplant and move to Minneapolis, and how important that is when you don't know what to expect or even necessarily what to do, or the fact that, you know, you can be asked for where's your receipt, did you pay to ride? I learned something new. So do you do any specific work with the Native community here?
Absolutely. The Native community is near and dear to my heart, especially our Little Earth. We go there a lot. We have a passionate community outreach coordinator who's really supportive of the Native community. We regularly attend the Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors meetings, and we love attending the Powwow Ground Open House, which is going to actually be tomorrow. Yeah. And this is an annual event that I had the privilege of attending last year. I'm looking forward to doing it again this year, and just making those connections that are absolutely important.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. I think one of the things that you can add to that list is the fact that our community is so significantly represented in the homeless population. Your HAT team does wonderful work and partners with our outreach workers all the time. And I don't know that that's uplifted enough. I know we've had different events where we were able to have the vehicle actually there so people could actually see what it is and what services people can get from the HAT team. So thank you for that. Is there anything else that you want to mention about Metro Transit or the work that you do, your team does?
So we provide resources within the state of Minnesota, like I said, but we want to be great partners. And, you know, something that I'm looking for is I'm looking, especially in Native community. I mean, if you're looking to start a career in law enforcement, you're unsure where to start, our Community Service Officer Pathways programs assist individuals with no law enforcement experience or degree to become a community service officer with the Metro Transit Police Department. Through the CSO Pathways program, participants will have the opportunity to be hired as a community service officer, earn 12 college credits at no cost to the individual, and be prepared for a career in law enforcement. Registration for the 2025 program opens in mid-August. To learn more about this opportunity, you can apply at metrotransit.org/careers-pathways. That's metrotransit.org/careers-pathways. We are continuously accepting applications for full-time officers and community service officers. New officers are eligible for a $4,000 hiring bonus. And lateral officers, those are officers with experience, are eligible for $8,000 lateral hiring bonus. Our community service officers, this is important because not every individual qualifies for financial aid, but if you need assistance, we offer an $18,000 tuition reimbursement program. That means you'll go to college and we'll give you up to $18,000 back just for serving as a community service officer within our police department.
Thank you. I really enjoyed having this conversation with you today. I appreciate you. I appreciate the commissioner of the health department. It matters when people like you in your positions show up in our community. And I look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
I look forward to sharing the day with you tomorrow and always being a great partner within the Native American community.
Thank you. So tomorrow is the open house. So, you know, in Minnesota, May is Indian Month, and we are blessed to have so many organizations in Minneapolis where there is an open house almost every day of that month. So we get to eat well during that month. But this year, one open house had to be canceled because of inclement weather. And so the Native American Community Development Institute, American Indian Community Development, AICDC, American Indian Community Development Institute in Powwow Grounds, they rescheduled their open house for tomorrow. So it will be tomorrow from 11:30 to 2 at 1414 East Franklin with your hosts. And it is going to coincide with the Four Sisters Farmers Market tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So you'll be able to come, you'll be able to pick up produce, you'll be able to check out a lot of the amazing vendors that we have there. And then we're also going to have live entertainment with the downtown Jada Brown. So I hope to see everybody tomorrow. Delayed, but it's always a good time.
I hope they have the walk-in colon too somewhere. I miss that, you know, where we can go and check out the colon blown up there that was made famous in that play.
Yeah. Oh, that's the American Indian Family Camp, what, ACAF, American Indian Cancer Foundation. Yeah.
Right. But they had it at the Native American Community Clinic last year at their open house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I know. I was shocked the first time I seen that. It was an experience.
Exactly. I had to walk through twice. Hey, great job. Great job is always so, you know, so great to hear the great work that's happening in Minneapolis. And thank you again, Christine.
I appreciate this partnership. And like I said, just the ability to bring public officials and have them introduced to our community is important. And just finding
93.5 The Tap. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we are live from day three of the RNC. The fabulous farm babe, Pam Yonke, will join us. And public service announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Sometimes our healthcare system can feel impersonal.
Who can help my healthcare team understand what is important to me? Who can connect me with community services and health resources?
Community health representatives can. Community health representatives, or CHRs, live and work in our community, so they understand your unique health needs and can break down the barriers that get between you and the quality care you deserve. Want to learn more? See all the good community health representatives do at dhs.wisconsin.gov/CHR.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS.